Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can also find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. You can also subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. And we drop it on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play less than an hour after the show airs live here on WKOK. So you can listen to it on demand anytime, anywhere. Subscribe, it'll come right to your tablet or smartphone. And we have 3 months of archived shows at your convenience at stevejonesshow.com. Sean Carey here, Steve Jones on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We will be with you live till 5. And then at 5, we'll have our late day news roundup. Sarah Benick at the anchor desk this afternoon. And then Steve with us tonight at 6 for the Penn State Coaches Show with head coach and men's basketball coach Patrick Chambers. Get coach's thoughts as Penn State will take on Northwestern tomorrow night at the BJC. We do have a programming reminder up for tonight. It is a high school wrestling, the dual meet between Shikellamy and Shamokin. That has been postponed. It has been rescheduled until January the 16th. So no wrestling tonight here on WKOK. Schick and Shamokin postponed until the 16th. Got a great show planned for you today. We continue the post-Fiesta Bowl conversation. And one of the terrific Penn State beat writers, one of the deans of the beat writers that's been on the beat for decades, Rich Scarcello, the Reading Eagle. He will join us at 3:35. We are also counting down to the national championship game between Alabama and Georgia in Atlanta on Monday night. National college football writer Bill Bender from the Sporting News will be joining us at 4:06. And we'll get into some college basketball conversation as well with Ken Pomeroy, KenPom.com. We'll dive headfirst into the analytics of college basketball. And we will wrap up the week tomorrow. We got scheduled Frank Bodani from the York Daily Record, some Penn State football talk tomorrow. And Steve's brother, Kevin Jones, will check in from Connecticut at 4:35. And we will get the NFL wild card predictions tomorrow afternoon. All right, so we mentioned Shikellamy Shamokin. Wrestling tonight has been postponed. Actually, I just got a text from Steve's brother, Kevin Jones, a few moments ago. Jones Metal, all shifts are canceled today. That does not surprise me. Connecticut is getting bombarded with a lot of snow up and down the Atlantic coast today. So hopefully they're all safe and well up there. And not like he has really much of a commute. He lives right across the street from the office. So, good gig if you can get it. You can get in touch with us anytime. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. stevejones@wkok.com. And toll-free is 800-795-9565. So, a little while ago, we had on Inside Penn State Athletics talking about Saquon Barkley declaring for the National Football League draft. So, before the draft, you've got NFL free agency coming up in March. when the official new season begins. So it kind of makes you wonder, teams that are going to be in need of a quarterback, what they're going to do before the draft. See who will be moving or shaking. Will Kirk Cousins leave Washington? Will Eli Manning leave the Giants? And I can think of two teams right off the top that could really use a quarterback. Denver, for one. Jacksonville, two. I mean, Blake Bortles has been so hot and cold. But Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, hasn't worked out. Brock Osweiler, two stints in Denver. You take all three of them combined with the Broncos, they rank 27th in the league, yards per attempt, and 31st in passer rating. So, I wonder when it's going to come to the point when we're talking about Denver when John Elway is going to take some heat. Oh. He is a true legend in Denver, but when is it going to come to the point where you point the finger at the general manager as to how things are going?
You're just so negative.
It's just negative. So it's that extra free time I have in the car, and I think about stuff like that.
No, I'm in the car. I'm usually thinking about the next turn I have to make.
Right.
Am I here yet? Yeah, I think so. I'm all right. So, yeah. You'd be amazed at what I don't think about in the car. I'm not kidding. I'm like, whatever.
You're a simple kind of guy.
Yeah, I like.
You're not complex.
Okay. Wait a minute. Okay, I got to merge with 95 here, right? Okay. Now I got to go to Adelphi Road. How far down is that? 2.7 miles. I'm not sitting there going, I wonder if they're going to do it, John. Well, Elway. Well, I miss my exit.
That's if I'm on a long stretch of road and if I'm coming up to an exit that has, no amenities.
I just don't want you warping into Suit World.
Oh, you got nothing to worry about there. No.
Contraire, mon frere.
You got nothing to worry about there.
Oh, he sits there and he thinks about all this stuff. It's like, stop thinking. It's all right. It's not your strong suit, don't think. It's not funny. I was thinking about sales, so was Roger.
New year, new beginning. Let's go.
Oh, great. He gets to start at zero again. That's not what we wanted to hear. This isn't funny.
It's one of the reasons why he thinks August is the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, I know. Oh, exactly. Oh, everybody's on vacation, so he can walk in. Well, they're all on vacation. I really can't see anybody right now. Okay. No wonder. Hey, great.
He calls Movie Mike. What's playing?
No, Movie Mike, every once in a while, Movie Mike gets stuck and he says, What do you see in the last week? What'd you think? I've seen a lot of things in the last week. Oh, I saw the Star Wars movie twice. I saw it. Oh, actually, on the plane out to Phoenix,
okay,
I saw. It was the movie where Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler get the bill from Bucknell and realize they can't get her into school because the scholarship was withdrawn by the town because of corruption. Mm-hmm. So they set up a casino. I saw that movie. Now that movie, I did laugh at parts of it. The other movie I saw was Dunkirk.
A lot of people thinking Dunkirk is one of the best of 2017.
And
Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler, The House.
The House, yeah.
Yep.
And I watched Dunkirk, and I was like, hey, this is great. I actually really wanted to see Dunkirk. And wasn't that crazy about it. Mm.
One of the young guys that formerly was in the boy group One Direction, Harry Styles, was also in Dunkirk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's starting to dive into acting a little bit.
Good. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, parts of it were good. The story I already knew but
I didn't see it when it came out last summer, but just catching the previews and a few glimpses of it, for some reason it reminded me of Saving Private Ryan a little bit.
Right, well, that's why I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
But it just... The part of it that I really liked and really got into... There are a couple parts I really liked and got into. One was... a part of an independent boat, because they said, look, we need independent boats to go over and save our people. That part I enjoyed. And of course, the one guy freaked out and killed the guy's son. That I'm like, oh, great. Because he was such a mess. And the, what was the other? The other one was the planes doing their job in the sky to protect the troops on the ground and to protect the boats and the ships. But it could have been better. But that was just me. Could have been better.
Yeah, one movie for me...
Because remember, it was one as soon as I saw it come up on the list, I thought, hey, this is great. This is a movie I really wanted to see.
Yeah.
And I watched it and went, okay. So, you were saying?
Yeah, the one that I've had on my radar that's carrying over to this year from last year for me is... I think it was in Movie Mike's top five 2017 for sure. Maybe he had it number one, but it was The Big Sick. With Ray Romano and Holly Hunter. And it's a romantic comedy. It's about... It's about a guy from Pakistan, and he falls in love with a graduate student, and their cultures clash. There's family expectations on both sides, and there brings in the comedy.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah, I'd never heard. Yeah, it came out. Actually, came out in July.
Okay,
that was one of those where it kind of had a slow build to it. Whereas Dunkirk, there was a lot of hype going into it. Big Sick was kind of sitting rather quiet and kind of had a little train that could and build a nice little bunch of momentum, and turned out to be a good critically acclaimed movie.
Like I say, Dunkirk I really wanted to see, and so I watched it on the plane and thought, hey, this is great, you know. And I kept waiting for it to get better, and it just kind of flatlined on me. Well, I mean, it's just me. Whatever. Meanwhile, Jack was watching... 2 and a Half Men. So then I started watching it.
There's a lot of episodes there.
Yeah.
Is he stockpiling Charlie Sheen episodes or the ones with Ashton Kutcher?
Well, this is all part of what the plane was doing.
That's actually a show that really didn't lose all that much in terms of ratings when Charlie left and they brought in Ashton Kutcher.
No, it did well. No, it did just fine. So, but yeah, that's, I mean, it's a 4-hour flight. Now you're on a 777, you're like, okay. First of all, you're comfortable as all get out. If you wanted to go to sleep, you could. you have your own little pod. You're like, this is really great. I mean, would I buy this seat? If I could. If I could, I'd buy it. Yeah, absolutely. So, on the way back, then, yeah, I actually watched the NFL on the way back. So, yeah, I was able to get the Patriots-Jets game. You know, so you get to watch. It's like watching surgery. Ah, look, Tom Brady. Scalpel? Oh, God. Let's see here. Who's that? So... That's what we got, and we got a lot going on in today's show, by the way. A lot. Ritz Scarsella next half hour. Bill Bender, Sporting News 406. Ken Pomeroy. Yes, Ken Pom. How about that? I'm going to talk about the analytics of basketball. And I'm looking forward to that. That'll be good. Yeah, it'll be good. It's look, analytics go back to the beginning of, really to the beginning of organized sport. Okay, think about this. The first person that came up with the idea of like, okay, Sean Carey goes to bat 25 times and gets 7 hits, so he's batting 280. Oh, that's an analytic. Now, this takes analytics to a completely different level. We're playing left-handed on a Tuesday. how are we doing here? So, you know. So it's a different deal. And Ken will break down. Yeah, the guy used to be a meteorologist. That's why he went to school. And he got his degree in meteorology. So he's the only guy that we can possibly get on the show today that can explain the offshore nor'easter, as well as why Oklahoma's possessions per game are critical. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
From Learfield, this is Penn State Nittany Lion football.
Long and deep, far side, he goes to Hamilton. Inside the 10, cuts to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. It'll be Barkley, 10, 15, far side, 20, 25, 30, to the 40, 50. Goodbye, he is gone. Saquon Barkley, 92 yards. Pressure, hit at the 5 by Gibbons, and down he goes at the 5-yard line. Delivers near corner. Hamilton reaches up in the end zone. He's got a touchdown, Penn State. And the Nittany Lions answer right back. Barkley hurdles for a first down inside the 25-yard line. Now that is a first down with style. The Nittany Lion football team, Fiesta Bowl champions, as they beat Washington 35-28.
State Nittany Lions, Fiesta Bowl champions. When you think sports, think News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. Ritz Scarsella on that Fiesta Bowl in just a few minutes. And then Bill Bender of the College Football Championship game coming up. That will be at 4:06. And Ken Pomeroy on the numbers of basketball. He is brilliant. You hear Dick and I refer, especially Dick, refer to the Ken Pom numbers all the time. There's a reason for it, because they tell a story. You have to use them in the right way, and Ken will be the first person to tell you that. It's better to have too much information and then judiciously use what you think you need, as opposed to not enough information. Wait, I just described this show. Wait a minute, hold on. Okay, Rich Scarsella next half hour. It'd be great to hear from our old friend. Great writer for the Reading Eagle.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Does it bother you at all, Sean, that at the end, Mark has to remember where he works?
Yes.
Does that concern you at all? I mean, I'm sure that over the years, the suit has worn him down.
Yeah. Mind games. Jedi mind trick.
Vulcan mind meld.
Right.
Like a good news and bad news. Good news is you can do the Vulcan mind meld. The bad news is you have to do it with the suit.
Give and take.
It's one of those, like, I'm not so sure this turned out so great. All right. Suddenly out of nowhere, like, you know, I think my kid's going to wrestle for Kale Sanderson. No, he's not. All right. Let's bring in Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, the outstanding Rich Scarcella. Happy New Year, my friend. It's great to hear you again.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Well, let's start with this. You, I phrased it in the post game, and I mentioned this to Donnie Collins the other day. I said it felt like we were watching past, present, future before our eyes. Past with James Franklin, of him starting down the recruiting trail and bringing in the Marcus Allens and the Trace McSorleys and Grant Haleys and players like that, Mike Gesicki, getting through the first couple of years, and then the present of winning 20 out of the last 23, and the future, so many key players in that game that are going to be a part of this next year and the year after. How did you view Saturday's game?
Well, there was a lot to digest, quite honestly, and first, you start with Saquon Barkley putting the exclamation point on his career with not only an outstanding performance, but with a signature run, 92-yard touchdown run. Then I go to Trace McSorley, who was brilliant, 12 for 12, 193 yards on third down. I thought he played a great game. I know he had two interceptions, and people might point to that, but really, the first interception was a great play by the Washington D-back, and the second play was a tip pass. So that's the second thing. The third thing is Deshaun Hamilton, one of the guys I've enjoyed most covering during my long, long time on the Penn State career, finishing his career with a great game. With the two touchdown catches, five overall for 110. And the other one is Brandon Smith, who, you know, is as good a person as there is, former walk-on, finishing his career, sealing the win with a fumble recovery at the end of the game. So those are the four individual takeaways. But there's so much more, Steve. I mean, there was just so much more to digest after that game.
I want to get to Hamilton for a moment because mm-hmm. a lot of people may or may not know his story, but his brother, who is autistic, mm-hmm. has meant so much to him and given him so much perspective. Military family, a yes sir, mm-hmm. no sir guy. He's the kind of guy a lot of fans could root for. Would you say that'd be fair?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, he's, I mean, anybody who's met Deshaun, I don't have to tell you this, but anybody who's met Deshaun, you know, would tell you that he's just such a very smart young man, has great perspective, very grounded, very team-oriented, and also one of the hardest-working players on the team, as everybody will tell you. But I wrote about, I mean, a lot of us did, but I wrote about his special relationship with his brother Darius a year ago on Christmas of 2016. And, you know, the more I learned about that relationship and in talking to Deshaun and in talking to his mom, you know, it's really, really a heartwarming story. And, you know, I think it really, really grounds Deshaun and gives him such a tremendous take on everything.
It's interesting because, I mean, I know when I've talked to Terry Smith about being a coach, mm-hmm. I mean, his daughter going through many of the same issues, he said it allowed him to be a better coach because it made him realize that everyone learns at a different rate. And it's amazing how something like that gives one perspective and changes their lives.
Yeah, it really does. And Deshaun, he and Darius have been inseparable since they were very, very young. And, you know, this is something he grew up with. It wasn't something that was thrust upon him. It's something that he grew up with, so he's really familiar with. But boy, I'll tell you, I know we're supposed to be objective and unbiased, but it really made me feel good that he put a nice bow on a great senior season with that performance in the Fiesta Bowl.
McSorley's growth as a quarterback, mm-hmm. where have you seen the growth and maturation in his game to the product we see today?
Well, the two things, and I guess they go hand in hand, are the checkdowns. I think he didn't force the ball, I don't think, as much as he did last year. And I'm not saying he did a lot last year, but he clearly he learned to take what the defense gave him this year. And that leads to the completion percentage, where he increased his completion percentage by a lot. I think it went from 57 to 66. And, you know, and the leadership has always been there. You know, he's just such a tough kid and resilient. And as any coach will tell you at Penn State, he'd be the one I want on my team. And you could tell, Steve, you know, Chris Peterson's comments after the game, and that was what I used. Like, my game story was on Barkley and McSorley. One's coming, one's staying, and if this is their final game together. And Chris Peterson said, you know, Barkley's great and all this, but McSorley is the guy that makes them go. And you go down the list of all the Big Ten coaches who played against Penn State, and they'll tell you the same thing. They love McSorley. I mean, they absolutely love him. Because of what he brings, he gets out of trouble. He's tough. He's fearless. He's got all the intangibles. And you know, going into next season, I just before you know joining you, I just checked our good friend Tom Dienhard from the Big Ten Network, and he has Penn State going into next season number one in the Big Ten East because of Trace McSorley.
I've always said to people, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong about this because you watch the same games I do, but I felt like Barkley made everybody around him better.
True.
But I felt McSorley was the one guy that really made Barkley better.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the two went hand in hand. But, you know, you couldn't, if you're a defense, you couldn't gear everything on Barkley, and a lot of teams chose that way anyway, and then McSorley killed them. And you know, the only team that really, I think, was able to kind of contain both of them, even though Penn State scored 38 points against them, was Ohio State, because Penn State finished with only, I know, under 300 yards. I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head. But I thought that was the only team that really did a nice job against both of them. You know, if you try to stop one, the other one was going to hurt you, and that was the case for most of the last two seasons.
Well, and then that's the other part too, because when Bates got hurt, McSorley mm-hmm. then spent a good part of that day running for his life in a lot of ways
yep.
to keep plays alive.
Right, right. I mean, right. It goes hand in hand. I mean, I know, I understand the Bates injury was big. I mean, that was significant. But you're right. But McSorley and Barkley couldn't do what they wanted to do. Like one wasn't it. You know, you figure one of them was going to be able to have a big game, but they weren't able to do that with the Bates injury, but also because Ohio State is a terrific defense.
Oh, they sure do. Ooh, they sure do. There is no question about that. When you look at what's coming back and the mm-hmm. foundation, let's go beyond McSorley now. Mm-hmm. What do you like about the foundation, and what does a bowl win mean to jumpstart a winter program?
Well, you can look at this both ways. Last year, Penn State said the Rose Bowl loss to USC motivated them in the off season. Now you're coming off a win. Yet your only two losses were by a total of 4 points. Now the thing is, you want to get to the playoff, and that's the whole goal, and that will motivate this team in the off season. I think the bowl win helps. It puts a nice. I think if anybody was lacking confidence on that team, I don't think they're. I think they're, the fact that you beat a very good team from the Pac-12 in a New Year's Six bowl. You know, you've won, like you said, 20 of your last 23 games. You know, it's got to help. And, you know, the offensive line is the key. I thought, and I think a lot of people did, and James Franklin, I think, even said in the spring, he thought this would be the best offensive line that they would have in his 4 years. I thought they would have taken a bigger step. They played very well against Washington, against those two massive defensive tackles. Don't want to take anything away from them. But I think for the program to continue to move forward and to take that next step, the offensive line has to take that next step. And it's in position to do so with four returning starters and a lot of really good young players who didn't start, such as Michael Mennett from Berks County, such as Mike Miranda, such as C.J. Thorpe. And that's the area that I think everybody is waiting for really to emerge and to become a force.
No question. What kind of foundation do you see defensively?
Well, defensively is really tough because you have two returning ends. You lose your two tackles. You know, you lost a lot of really good players. You know, Marcus Allen. But, you know, you lose your entire secondary. But you have John Reed coming back, and you have Amani Oruwariye coming back. You have Koa Former. I think he'll be an important leader on the defense next year. You have Ryan Buchholz. You have Sharif Miller. We'll see what happens with Torrence Brown. He said out in Arizona that he expects to be back in the fall after the devastating leg injury that he had. So, I mean, there are pieces there, and there are a lot of really good young players. But I think that's where you're going to see. John Reed is going to be a leader. Koa Farmer is going to be a leader. And I sense that Ryan Buchholz as well will be a leader.
Yeah. When you look at the college football playoff championship game, it's Georgia-Alabama on Monday night. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to be the one to say that I think it's a good thing that there's two SEC teams in the championship game. I did think Georgia was going to beat Oklahoma. I didn't see the game playing out as it did. I was stunned that Alabama dominated Clemson the way they did. I'm not surprised Alabama won, but I can't believe that that Alabama just really shut down Clemson's offense. You hate to go against Nick Saban, especially against the former assistant. You know, even though Fromm has played well, he's a freshman quarterback. I'd have to give a slight edge to Alabama.
Well, I always laugh about the former assistant thing because, to me, there's always a base. Like the team has the better talent wins. Now, why did the former assistant get the job? Because they got rid of somebody else in front of them.
Right. You know. I mean, Georgia's really good. I mean, really impressed, especially with the way they can run the ball. You know, I'm not saying, you know, that Georgia also will also have. Quite a following playing in Atlanta. You know, Alabama has a big following in the South and all over the country, but I think it's going to be pretty close to 50-50 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and that will help Georgia. So it's going to be really fascinating to see, but boy, I hate to go against Saban in a championship game. And I know Clemson beat Alabama last year, but, you know, it took a heroic performance by Deshaun Watson to do so. I'll still give Alabama a slight edge.
Yeah, I think so, too. Like four, or should it expand?
I've always agreed with the late Joe Paterno. I think there should be eight teams. I do. I know there's the thing, the concern is, how do you protect the players, the health of the players? And that would be my concern. And I know I saw some people say cut back on the regular season. Well, guess what? That cat's out of the bag. That's not going to happen. That's money. There's a lot of money involved. But I would like to see eight teams. I would like, in that case, if they could get to eight, can find a way to get to eight teams, I think the group of five conferences should be guaranteed one spot. And I'm not saying shouldn't get more, but there should be at least one spot for the group of five teams. I don't think UCF should have been in the playoff, and I don't think they should have even been in the top eight. I'm impressed the fact that they beat Auburn. Auburn had everything to lose, nothing to gain. UCF had everything to gain, nothing to lose. Those kinds of things happen when it comes down to it. So, I don't know, how do you feel about four teams, eight teams, Steve?
Okay, Rich, I'm okay with four right now. I think if you're going to do this in increments, maybe go to six next, and then see how that plays out. Go to eight. The only thing I'm concerned about is what you just talked about, and that's how much do you expand the season, and do you take that first weekend in December and make that eight as quarterfinals and eliminate the conference championship games?
Right.
I mean, I think you'd have to null that out. If they go to eight, I would be with you about putting a group of six team in there.
Yes,
like
group
the like
six,
UCF,
I'm sorry, right? Yeah,
they would be. I think you know that would be a great tip of the cap. Now, if there happen to be more that are fine, I mean that's why you got three at large spots, and I think one of them would be that. But if you're sitting in a room logically, and it's eight teams and no agendas in terms of like putting one in.
Mm-hmm.
And you put down what Penn State's done and the gauntlet they ran versus the gauntlet UCF ran, I'm with you. They don't make the eight.
No. Penn State, which was ninth, by the way, by the CFP committee, and I think they should have been eighth. I think we've seen they should have been ahead of USC, but they wouldn't have made it. And Penn State deserved it more than UCF. I don't think they're. I don't know how you can argue otherwise. I really don't. Steve, the other one I want, like, I don't know how you feel, but I didn't think about this. I saw this while I was out in Arizona. I didn't even think about it last year when Ohio State got the fourth spot ahead of Penn State. But it is almost like the team, like Ohio State last year and Alabama this year, and I'm not saying we can argue till Kingdom Come whether they belonged in or not, but they really got a bye by not playing in a conference championship game.
No question.
I never thought of it like that. I saw somebody wrote that, and I wish I remembered who it was. And I really, if you're going to keep four teams, I think you should make it that it's the conference champion. I know it's not going to happen, but I really do. I mean, if you're really, like, Alabama got a bye into the playoff because they weren't forced to play a conference championship game, and they weren't. They didn't have to risk getting a loss in that 13th game, just like Ohio State last year. How do you feel about that?
Well, see, that was always my argument. I've talked about this repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
When I had Jim Delaney on the show a couple of weeks ago, he campaigned hard for conference champions only, and I understand that. My argument 2 years ago with Ohio State in 2014, you know, TCU and Baylor were ahead. TCU was the third. But the Big 12 didn't have a championship game. And I said, now, why are you asking everybody else to risk a 13th time when you don't have to? That's always going to be my argument with Notre Dame. Why are you telling everybody else they've got to put it on the line a 13th time when you only have to do 12? And that's that. I've argued about that for 4 years now, Rich. That part to me has been very important because you know, it's almost better off that you don't make it that way. You don't risk it and you're in versus out there rolling the dice and I've got to perform my way in again. You don't.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, there's an inequity there. You know, you're all then everything else is a beauty contest. I mean, if you we could argue, was Alabama better than Ohio State? I don't know. I mean, if you put them on the field against each other, I don't know who wins. But the point is, Alabama didn't have to play a 13th game. Ohio State did and beat an undefeated team. And I mean, this just like last year with Penn State. They beat a really good Wisconsin team, a one-loss Wisconsin team, and they put it on the line in that 13th game, and Ohio State didn't have to do that. And, you know, I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I would like to see that if it's going to stay four, I would like to see you at least have to win your conference championship to get in.
I agree with that. I agree with that to me because you're out there – you're taking the risk while the other guy's watching you on TV.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, there's no system that's perfect, but boy, that makes it a lot fairer than the current one.
Completely agree. Rich,
yeah.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the time. Enjoyed the conversation, the back and forth.
Thanks, Steve. I always enjoy being on with you. Take care.
The great Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. Great, great respect for him. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.